Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm speaking with my colleague and friend Michael Yon, war correspondent, patreon.com. Michael Yon. It's easy to see Michael's diary and chronology and videos and photographs of these last weeks. We've taken him all the way from Bogota, and now he's at the end of the Pan-American Highway. Nearby is a refugee camp where the Senafront, the Border Patrol of Panama, congregate the refugees coming through the Darien Gap. But, Michael, I want to go to the Ambara village where the refugees first come out of the gap, first come out of the jungle, first meet it, and to establish the fact that they've been robbed. They don't have any resources. They don't even have their machetes. But they managed to resupply at a local place that looks like a Western Union office. How does it work, Michael?
Actually, yes, I do describe this in detail on Patreon on the Western Union transactions. They emerge into a village called Bajo Chiquito, and there the first concrete that your feet touch are at this store. That's the first concrete your feet will have touched in, it could be 10 days or so, depending on how long you're in the jungle. And so right there, there's a Western Union, let's say it's not a Western Union outlet per se. It's a combination of Western Union and the Hawala system. And so the people will transact to a family up in Panama City who will then text down to Bajo Chiquito to release the money. That's the Hawala system where you just do it by text. So in other words, the money goes to a receiver in Panama City. The receiver in Panama City then using the Hawala system just texts, and literally in Bajo Chiquito, there's no cell service there, so the villagers have to walk out to this hill nearby, which they call Cell Phone Hill. They walk out, go to the top of this hill, they can receive their text, walk back down into the village, and give the money to the migrants.
And that's how the migrants resupply themselves in Panama now. Michael, who feeds the migrants if they don't have their own food or can't buy their own food?
Senafront will feed them. And I just saw six Red Cross this morning as well. But Senafront will definitely feed them. They're not. Panama is a very civilized country. They're not going to let the migrants starve to death. I mean, it's a developing country, but it's also civilized. It's not, crazy land like down in Venezuela. And so you're not going to be left to starve to death here in Panama.
You've met Venezuelans. In fact, on your video, you talked to three young Venezuelans, I think about 10 days ago, maybe a week ago. I lose track of time. They were young men with big shoulders, and one of them had a Yankees cap on. You spoke to them about their experiences in the jungle, and they were warning people not to go. But ahead of them was America. Why are they going to America? What did they tell you?
They were very clear. They're just going for money. They want to go back and send – they want to go to the United States and send money. Now, the idea that everybody's fleeing war is just simply untrue. I've been to a lot of their countries, for instance, Nepalese. I see them all the time. They come through in groups. I spent a year in Nepal, all over Nepal, and there's no war there now. There used to be. But many of the countries they go through, for instance, Ecuador, there's no war in Ecuador. Many Americans move to Ecuador. And they'll come through Ecuador, which is quite peaceful. They'll go up to Colombia, which has many peaceful parts, but it has unrest now, as you know. And then they will come to Panama, which is quite peaceful. Many Americans live here, move here, come to vacation here. Bill and Melinda Gates just came on vacation in Costa Rica and Panama. And then they go to Costa Rica after this, which is very peaceful. I've gone there on vacation. Then from there, they go to Nicaragua. I've also gone there on vacation. So, then they go north to Honduras, which has very peaceful parts and also very violent parts. And finally up to Guatemala. And finally into Mexico, which also has many vacation spots. It's not like they're going through war zone after war zone, fleeing fire to get to, you know, utopia, they're going through really nice areas and finally thousands of miles later end up in Chicago or wherever.
But the Venezuelans are fleeing what has been going on for several years, a complete collapse of the healthcare system unless you're an elite, a complete collapse of food security unless you're the elite. And what they told you, Michael, is that they need to send money back home. And that's why they're coming to America and taking these risks. Now, let's go to the Umbera village. We have a few minutes. What did you learn from the leadership of the Umberas about their income from the migrants? What do they charge the migrants, and what do they provide for them?
They'll charge for MoneyGrams and Western Union. They charge 20% off the top. So that's one charge. And then, of course, they will sell food. But Centerfront also provides food. So if you don't have any money for food, you will be fed. But you can buy many things in the stores there in Bajo Chiquito. I found the population of Bajo Chiquito finally is 465. So that village their industry really is actually the migrants. I mean, so they're not really against the migrants because the migrants bring a lot of money to that village. That village is way out there. You can't get there easily. You'll never see tourists out there. You have to get Centerfront permission. If it's muddy as it is today, you'll have to take a boat. You can get out there by car, but it's very difficult. And not car. You're going to need four-wheel drive, even if it's not muddy. And so, that village makes their money on the migrants.
The Umbera are the indigenous people. They live both in Panama and Colombia. Michael, the drop-off in refugees, which you've noted several times since we've been conferring these last days, what explains it to the Umbara? What explains their losing income here? Is this something that's happened to them before to see a severe drop off?
Yes, they say there's constant cycles and they don't really have, you know, they can't explain them all actually, but one explainer is definitely the rains because when it rains hard, the migrants do drop off because they just get stuck in the jungle. And so they just have to wait until the river levels, subside. They have to wait until it slows them down in the mud. And so the rains are a big part of it during the rainy season. At other times right now, there's been a report that thousands of migrants are stuck in Colombia now trying to come north. I don't know why they're stuck. I'll need to go back down to Colombia and look for myself or send somebody down there. But there are reports that there's more than one report that there are many migrants stuck trying to enter the Darien Gap right now. But now's not a good time to go into the gap. It's raining quite a lot.
And just to note here, we have less than a minute, Michael. You've seen helicopters, Centerfront helicopters in these last days, security officials patrolling the border, and I believe you reported they detained three people who they believe were part of the marauders in the Darien Gap, correct? Have you seen those helicopters within the last 24 hours?
Not in the last 24 hours, but I see them every two or three days.
All right.
They take off from a base here, and they'll fly off down towards the gap. And it was a man at Doctors Without Borders told me that the Centerfront commandos went out there to find some of the robbers and rapists, and they apparently came into seven. This is what the man from Doctors Without Borders told me, and captured three, and the other about four got away. And the three that they captured apparently were teenagers. One was said to, according to him, had a revolver, another a double-barreled shotgun, and another a .22 rifle. So they were not armed with, M16s or something like that.
Michael Yon at patreon.com to follow Michael's chronology and analysis of the migrants coming north through the Darien Gap into Central America. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF, and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.